Rebecca is not just someone who we bring in as an expert on domestic violence. She is someone who's become a supporter, a friend. Like, she's our girl.
A stalker,
she's
family, a heckler.
She's our girl.
She's a heckler. That's what she is.
And, you know, we always try to bring you guys awareness and information and statistics on a lot of these things that are taboo for people to talk about. So with this being Domestic Violence Awareness Month, what better to have Rebecca than to have Rebecca here to give you information, resources, and talk about a topic that is very sensitive for a lot of people in the world.
You did so, good.
Hello, Rebecca.
You did good, right?
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon. So, Rebecca, please explain to us the meaning and why this month was chosen to be domestic violence. Is it awareness or prevention or awareness prevention? Or
it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It is to bring light to the fact that domestic violence happens all over the world in every kind of home, regardless of socioeconomic status, religion, family composition. Domestic violence occurs to 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men. Yeah. Are victims.
1 in 7. Wow.
I'm glad 1 in 7. You added that last part.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
10% of my clientele, not only in non-residential services, but in the shelter, are adult males who have been victimized.
Because there's some people who believe, like, you know, it's only like a woman thing. Like, men can't be a part of domestic violence.
And by far, I mean, the highest number of domestic violence victims are women. Mm-hmm. However, male victims exist, and male victims victimized by women exist. So it's important to bear that in mind when talking about domestic violence or any kind of abuse.
Mm-hmm. I remember you telling us that domestic violence was about power and control.
Yes.
So in sense, you're saying that there are women that are taking power and control over men.
Yes.
I think that's the part. I'm old school, but that's the part I think people, like, come on, man.
You know what? I think women do it in different ways. When we talk about stalking behaviors and unhealthy relationship behaviors, especially in high schools, I hit home with the point, hey, if someone's stalking your Facebooks, taking your phone and going through your text messages, going through your Facebook, your Instagram, your Snapchat, your Twitter, whatever, that's someone exerting their power and control over you if they're using those things against you. Mm-hmm. So we talk about the kind of behaviors that can be attributed typically to men or typically to women.
Okay. Maybe this is a myth or this is just a question. But do you have to have a certain type of personality for a woman to be able to reign power and control over a man?
You know what? I think probably 20 years ago, I would have said it was only wussy guys. However, okay. I had an experience about 13 years ago that completely changed my views and made me apologize for every thought I had had prior to that. In the non-residential office, I had a client walk in. When the gentleman walked in, he was actually so tall that he eclipsed my light.
Whoa.
And he was muscular. His batterer weighed 110 pounds soaking wet and might have been 5'1". But what I said to him was, and he was covered in marks, he was covered in bite marks, etc. When I said to him, it was something I hate myself for saying, but I said, what were you doing while she was beating on you? And he said, you know what, Rebecca, I stood there with my hands in my pockets because my mom always told me, no matter what, you never hit a woman. And I thought, if anyone had the right to hit a woman, it was that guy right then, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. And going through the process with him and advocating for him in the family court and staying by his side until that relationship was over and he was able to move on to safety really opened my eyes to a lot of things. That it's really as hard as it is for a woman to come forward, and it is incredibly hard for a woman to come forward. In many ways, it's actually harder for men because of the stereotypes that we put on men and, you know, our inherent beliefs of what men are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we work with both men and women equally.
Yeah, I've seen a situation like that, but it was where I felt like a male was a part of a, you know, domestic mm-hmm. abuse situation. Because it doesn't always have to be with, you know, violence.
Right.
Like we learned in previous shows, but also like I seen a person in a relationship where the woman had a lot more money, you know, than he had. And
right,
was basically
financial abuse.
you know, using verbal abuse to put him down and to, you know, keep him, you know, where she wants him to be, because the fact that she had the money, she basically controlled the relationship and controlled, you know, who he is and who he talks to and everything like that.
With that situation, because, I mean, I would assume that would be something that's rare. Is that something that you now, being that you've had so much experience in the field, that you experience often, where it's just a guy who's very steadfast in his train of thought that he does not hit women, so that's taken advantage of? Or are there a lot of other situations where...
There's a lot of different situations. You know what? Far more often we see a lot of verbal abuse, a lot of emotional abuse. Every one of my clients, male or female, will tell you that they'd rather it was just physical abuse, that someone just beat on them and never said a word, because the physical stuff heals. The emotional stuff takes far longer.
Verbal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Classify that for me, because sometimes, you know, you can have an argument, you know, you just say some things, you know.
Right.
Is there anything that's, you know, considered okay? Or can I not have an argument with my partner?
But you know what? You always have to look at it in that light of ongoing pattern of behaviors used to gain power and control over the other partner. So in an argument between two people who are equals, yeah, you may say some off-the-stuff hook, and you may say some stuff that's completely deplorable, but it's not because one of you has power and control over the other in an ongoing pattern.
In an argument, you're trying to win the argument, so you want to have control.
But that's a one-time thing, Vern. That's not a pattern.
No, but I'm saying, is the pattern every argument? Like, every argument I'm in, I'm trying to win. I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm trying to
win. What if you're dead wrong? You're still trying to
win? No, no, no.
Right,
if I'm dead, but I'm trying to win until I'm proved dead wrong.
But listen, that's the difference between a healthy relationship and a batterer.
But you know how
a batterer
hard it is
for never wrong.
But you know how hard it is to accept being wrong?
Well, yeah, but that's human.
I
sorry.
Think
you're
talking about two different arguments. Right. Okay. If you're trying to win, that's different than, like, then you know, a vicious put down.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to do
something
that.
Something that you know could crush this person that you know.
What we're talking about is not two people who are having an argument. We're talking about someone who walks into the home, looks at their partner and says, this dinner's not good enough, and throws the plate. We're talking about someone who, you know, daily tells their partner, you can't do anything good enough, and who uses that to beat them down to the point where they'll stay regardless of what goes on due to self-esteem, due to a number of issues.
Okay, now, my question would be, it's pretty easy, I would assume, to be able to tell you when you're in being a victim of domestic violence, of course, if you're being physically abused.
No.
How? It's not?
No.
Please, enlighten me.
You know what? What we see a lot of times is they didn't mean that. You know, we were playing around.
Mm-hmm.
Or I push their buttons.
Yeah.
I can be such a, you know, that I pushed them to that point. We were both drinking. It was an equal fight. We hear that a lot. And sometimes you've got to call a bad relationship just a bad relationship. Mm-hmm. And it is mutual behaviors, because that pattern doesn't exist. Mm. Domestic violence is always that ongoing pattern of behaviors to gain control over the other person.
How could a person actually notice it when it's emotional or verbal? Because like you said, with the pattern and everything like that, how does a person actually get to notice?
You know what? That's why we do so much outreach always through our Columbia Green Domestic Violence Facebook page. We have a business page and we have a personal page so that you can chat with us if you need to. We do awareness on that right now. Through Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we're doing red flags to abusive relationships. And it's just little stuff like a question. Does your partner monitor your phone calls? Think about that. Did your partner move you quickly into the relationship? Now, that in and of itself doesn't mean your relationship's unhealthy, but that coupled with, you know, quickly wanted me to move in, immediately wanted me to get pregnant, wanted me to quit my job. Wow, you've already got isolation. You've got a kid involved. You're living in the same house together. You don't have your own funds. You're pretty well trapped. Where is this headed? Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, it's headed nowhere good.
But there are cases.
There
where
are cases.
He
there
could
are,
be.
Right.
Prince
there
Charming.
There are cases. I'm sure Prince Charming exists.
Okay. I do have a question.
Somewhere.
And listen, Get ready for this one.
I'm ready.
No, this was a, I think this one's a good one. Men and women carry emotional baggage. And they carry baggage from previous relationships. And it could be, in my last relationship, my mate was able to cheat on me through text messages. So I will feel comfortable if I'm looking through your phone so that, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So would that be a form of domestic violence? Like, because, you know, why? Because this is the culture that they're used to. And then
question.
Just trying to save themselves heartache. And,
right.
You understand?
All right, but now here's the difference. So you're in a new relationship, and like you said, my mate was cheating on me and was doing it, setting up these flings through text message,
social media and stuff.
Social
like
media, etc. That completely freaks me out. I have huge trust issues. Can I look at your phone? And the other partner says, yeah. You're not forcing it.
No. Here's the thing. And as guys, we know this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they look, if they don't find something, the typical response is, I didn't find nothing this time, mm-hmm. but I need to check and, you know, like an HIV test, get it every 3 months. I'm going to check 3 months later to make sure, because it's baggage. And the baggage that, you know, you understand what I'm
right.
saying? The baggage is emotional, and you have to prove yourself to them that mm-hmm. you're not going to do the same thing, but in the process of them protecting themselves. So basically, I think I'm saying
they're taking all your privacy.
Are they taking your privacy? And is that a form, or is that the fine line?
There's that fine line. Do you want them to do that, or
of
do you?
Of course not. But
all
when
right.
you're dealing with a damaged person,
so, but you,
you
know
have
what?
To work through stuff like that.
Once you say to that partner, you know what, baby? I'm not cheating on you. And no, this is my phone.
Well, it's going to be a lot
run,
of single people. Out
right,
there.
And you run the risk of your relationship being over.
Yeah, it's going
to
be over.
I got to tell you, I don't check my boyfriend's phone.
Okay.
I got to tell you, he doesn't check mine. But to the other side of it, I don't care if he does. He okay. would never... But I don't think about it when I go to the bathroom. I don't take my phone with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a... I have nothing to hide. And I guess that's...
But
we have a mutually respectful relationship.
You know what? I love words. But the thing about words is that sometimes they get mixed up. Because
yeah.
when you say you have nothing to hide, just because someone takes their phone with them doesn't mean they have something
to
hide.
No, I'm not even saying that.
And no, and
that's,
I think
yeah,
that,
no.
I think like
right.
from a female to male perspective,
right.
we have to make sure, because we don't want all the women saying,
right.
if you take your phone to the bathroom,
yep,
you got something to hide.
ladies, I assure you that some days they're just playing Candy Crush.
it could be.
or watching those stupid videos on Facebook. I don't even know where those videos come from, but I've had enough.
Yeah, how about we're doing the same thing you guys do when you take your phone to the bathroom? It could be. My point is just that I just
probably
think
not.
There's a I think there's a fine line, because normal relationships now is, unless you met the person when you were a teenager and you have that old school love thing.
No, you still got baggage then too.
But the baggage now, I mean, everybody and the thing about it is, men are afraid to say I have baggage.
They are. We talked about that a little bit when I first came in.
So
men
going into a relationship, you know, you figure it's baggage. So if I'm saying, listen, my last four girls, they took all my money. I'm not giving you nothing. You got to work for your money or you don't get nothing from me. Am I being verbally abusive? Am I saying, no, you're not going to be a gold digger with my money? Am I protecting my self-image?
Why are you dating women that you have to say that to?
But see, that's
I would say that the
no,
issue
but,
there
it's,
is,
but I don't think it's the women.
No.
He's saying it's him. Like, if he's saying
you
like
need
because
therapy.
Of my
yeah. But I understand that, and you know what? I understand that.
Columbia County Mental Health Clinic has walk-in hours.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's the same way I feel about
therapy.
The things that you're saying. They need therapy.
Yeah.
You understand? Because, like, if you're telling me...
Oh, don't get me wrong. No, I believe that everyone needs therapy.
But you didn't just say it like
great.
That. I think I was isolated. I feel like you're abusing me. This is the second time during Domestic Violence Month that you came... I got my purple on, and you're going to do this to me?
What on you is purple?
The button you
the
gave
button.
Me?
Right.
Literally, like, keep asking Ray for
Ray,
help.
Do something.
Ray, get your friend. Ray, get your friend.
The thing about what we do here, and Rebecca, is I honestly really, really, really enjoy and respect Rebecca, because Rebecca's not your normal counselor. She could take the punches.
God,
she can bob and weave. She can hit back. And what I was trying to do is just to put things out there that other people might be thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and But
you know what? All right, listen, people. Here's the big tell-all. if you feel like you need to talk to someone about what's going on in your relationship, like, this is definitely screwed up, yeah, give us a call. We'll talk it out. Even if legally it doesn't fit the criteria of quote-unquote domestic violence, if you're having some type of feelings about your relationship and it's not healthy, we'll still talk with you. Because also unhealthy relationships are very frustrating and harmful. Hotline.
Yeah.
Our hotline number, 24/7, 365, is 943-9211. Now, before we go off the domestic violence topic, I have to say that 2 years ago I came on the show.
Ooh, I love this. Come on.
2 years
ago. Come on with it. Hold on. Everybody be quiet for a second. Come on with it. You know what? You're going to make my day today. I know it. Come on.
Cool. 2 years ago, Big Vern called our office and asked for someone to come on the show. And I've been with the agency a while. On top of that fact, I was the only one who could intelligently speak NFL as well as domestic violence. So I got sent. And I came on the show ready to do I didn't even know what. I listened to a couple of the shows to get prepped, and I did my homework, and I walked in, and Vern and I immediately started arguing, and I knew that this was kind of my second home. Because I believe he knew me for 4 seconds before he said, "Now you shut up." That was the moment I found my brother from another mother, and here he is. So 2 years ago, I came in to talk about Ray Rice. Ray Rice beating Janae Rice and the video and the subsequent behaviors. And we talked about, at that point, what constitutes domestic violence, how this happens, what are the ramifications, what do you do to kind of help the victim, is there any help for the batterer, and here's where Vern and I got in an argument, is because I said, no, he's never going to change, he's a dirtbag for life. Cut and dry, Rebecca, mic drop, done. And now today, I'm coming with it, that Ray Rice has partially redeemed himself in my eyes to a great extent. Ray Rice spent the day with the Big 12 at a sexual assault and domestic violence conference as one of the presenters on their panel. And Ray Rice actually gave the following quote, which made me love him a little bit. And here I go. This is Ray Rice speaking. The more I learned about it, domestic violence, it shouldn't take a visual to understand what domestic violence is, Ray Rice said. You have to get it. It shouldn't take a video. You're just taking full responsibility. And I had to learn that. It wasn't about the drinking and the things like that. No, I was wrong. That's it. So Ray Rice is now and has been touring the country to colleges and high schools and talking particularly to athletes about how not to be abusive jerks. And one of the places he actually went was Baylor after the sexual assault scandal and raised the roof. So I have to say that I'm going to keep an eye on him because I told you 2 years ago that I would, Ray, or Vern.
Yeah, and Vern.
I'm going to continue to keep an eye on Mr. Rice. But right now, I am cautiously optimistic that this man has changed.
Okay, I'm going to give you the clap. I respect that. You know, we have our battles, but, you know.
I'm excited.
But like I must do, I remember you saying, and the reason why we had an argument, it wasn't even an argument, it was a disagreement. I was not trying to gain control over you.
Ray Rice couldn't work at McDonald's.
Yeah, you know exactly where I'm going.
Now listen, you know what?
You said for the rest of his life he should work at McDonald's.
You know what? Right at this point in time, 99.5% of people do not have the strength of character that right now I can tell you Ray Rice does in my eyes. Most people don't have the strength of character to say, what I did was wrong, and you know what? Shame on you, media, and shame on you, public, for having to see a video to believe that I did it.
You know what? And I'm going to say something nice.
I got to give the guy props.
And I'm going to say something nice. Add yourself to the 99% because you just said you was wrong about McDonald's, and I'm going to give you props.
I know.
A lot of people wouldn't do that.
No.
You know how we do our show. She came back, and we didn't ask her. We knew about it.
Yeah.
I knew about it.
She didn't pull a Ray.
No, she didn't pull a Ray.
She didn't try to go call a friend.
And she, a stand-up woman, and this is why we love you. Even though I fight with you, I fight with the people I love. Ask them.
I not only came in, I was petting Ray's picture. Yeah. I was like, we got to talk about Ray Rice.
All right. I got to give Rebecca a huge clap because that was big right there. That was big.